21st century schizoid man. Hey guys, awesome. Welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up, guys?
We're doing the original Two Bros are just reviewing a movie.
Yeah.
No special guests today, sadly. Yeah. But we've got a really good movie for you, and it's the 2006 sci-fi adventure Children of Men, starring Clive Owen and Julianne Moore, directed by Alfonso Cuarón. What an exotic man.
Super hot.
Super hot. But it's if you guys aren't familiar with the story, I'll let Sam fill you guys in on the basic plot, because it's a pretty cool plot and unique in that in many regards, I think.
Yeah. From the beginning, you basically find out it's the year is like 2027,
right?
And no one has been born for 18 years, like
right.
Basically, it's not that no one knows why children can't.
Like, but it's a global fertility problem.
Yeah. Like around the world, women and men and women can't have any babies, basically.
Right.
Clive Owen is the main star, and he's just kind of like this government official dude.
Yeah.
And his ex-wife, or maybe wife, you can't really tell, is a part of like this kind of militia group.
Right.
Who are trying to expose the evils of the government, of the British government. Because the way it makes it seem is kind of like Britain is the only place that's safe now, because everyone has gone crazy since they can't have babies anymore.
Yeah, they did a really good job kind of explaining or implying that within like 30 seconds of film.
It's almost like the Hulk movie with Edward Norton, where in the beginning, like, you basically get everything about the Hulk in like 2 minutes. That's kind of what this is like, except it's, you know.
And it's done in a great way, though.
Yeah. It's done, very, it was a very smooth transition from like the background information to the main story.
Yeah.
They basically go through some trouble and eventually you meet this lady who. I won't spoil it. It's special.
Yeah.
And it's about it's kind of like an escort mission. They get her out of the country.
Yeah. And it's I guess it's basically Julianne Moore who plays Clive Owens. You can either say she's either divorced or just estranged. I'm thinking
maybe
more estranged.
I think you're right. I think it's estranged
because they had a family tragedy that kind of separated the two.
Yeah.
And she joined this resistance group, and basically they're resisting a really intrusive British regime.
Yeah. It's basically like if you're fertile, you have to report yourself, and then I guess the government will do stuff to you to find out how.
Well, they don't even know if the government's found anybody who is fertile yet.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Thor. It's almost like a 1984 kind of.
I'd say totally. Except
it's not as like. It's not as poor for the regular people. Like Clive Owen is okay.
Clive Owen is okay.
Apartment at one point. He's like, all right. He's doing
it's not
okay.
Like 1984. It's not
but
like
it
that.
But it is that way. It is that way for the refugees.
I'm almost liking it to Brazil almost.
Yeah.
The fact that the government is still kind of functioning a little bit.
Yeah, that also reminds me. It reminded me a lot of if you've played Half-Life or Half-Life 2, like the intro of Half-Life when you're driving in on the tram.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a part of the movie where like a bus drives through, and it's exactly like Half-Life 2.
Yeah,
like they're all wearing. All the police are in Combine type suits, and they have nightsticks, and they're fucking with all the regular people.
And they do a good job at the beginning of the movie, you know, talking about how there's chaos all over, and you feel frantic, even though like Clive Owen is okay, he's doing his best to live a normal life.
And there's awesome frantic. Michael Caine.
Oh,
Michael Caine plays Clive Owen's buddy, who's kind of like a hippie,
a leftover hippie from like 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Michael. This is one of my favorite Michael Caine performances, just because he gets to finally, like, you know, be like this silly, goofy guy that you don't really see him in as of late. Like, he's always playing like the serious.
Brown.
Yeah. Harry Brown, or like the kind of like father figure scolding character in all the Dark Knight movies.
Yeah.
He gets to be goofy now.
Well, the last time I seen him in something so good and like not
serious.
Campy, like overly campy.
Yeah.
Was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah.
Which
I think
is a Frank Oz one with Steve Martin, which I really like that movie.
Yeah, that's an awesome movie.
But he does do a good job playing a hippie. You have, you know, Julianne Moore, who is in the movie a lot less than I thought she would be in. And, you know, she's such a powerful actress.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the last time I saw her in anything, I was like, wow, it was a Single Man.
Yeah, that was great.
Great movie. We're going to have a review of that.
Shout
out
to Tom
people.
Ford. Please Please listen.
Please
listen, Tom Ford. I'm a big fan.
Send us some of your glasses frames.
Send us some of those women in that Vanity Fair cover.
I know. So Sam can have his way with them.
You don't need them.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't want them.
He doesn't want them.
Yeah.
It's too good. No, yeah. I'd say everyone does a really good job with their character, with the exception of, I guess, the midwife lady, who, she's not really bad, but she's just not very good.
Yeah, there's only a couple scenes in there where it's like, Jesus Christ, you're a bad actress.
Yeah, it just kind of stands out because everyone else is so good.
Yeah, most notably the house scene. I think that's the only time I commented to you. I think that's the only time I've commented to you during a movie is like,
what the hell?
That's
yeah.
pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like her, she just gets weird. And then she's out of the movie after like a little bit after that.
And for the most part she stays quiet, but it's like, and they're like pondering decisions. It was the worst, like, oh no, we cannot do that.
Totally overacting. Yeah.
It was really bad.
It was weird. It was very weird.
But everyone else was so solid.
Everyone else is really, really
and
solid.
Maybe that's what brought out her bad performance in that
I think
one
that's,
particular
no,
scene.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it just stands out. I don't even think it would have been, like, super bad if it weren't for the fact that everyone else was so natural.
Yeah, if, like, Clive Owen and Julianne Moore didn't have anything to say first.
Yeah.
And then she came up. Yeah. That's two hard acts to follow.
Yeah, definitely.
But I really enjoyed this movie, and I don't even know where to begin other than, you know, we're talking about... Well, let's talk about, in comparison, like, let's give people some scope on our takes on sci-fi in general and what distinguishes this movie from your typical sci-fi flick.
Okay. Well, for me, I don't actually like sci-fi movies that much. Not because I mean, it's not like I don't like that kind of fantasy. I think that kind of fantasy is cool, but I think the majority of even popular sci-fi movies aren't really that...
sci-fi.
There's not really that much sci-fi in it. Like I know everybody really likes Blade Runner, and I like Blade Runner too.
Yeah.
But to me, Blade Runner is not really that big of a sci-fi movie.
It's
I mean,
really
you have the
Scott
sci-fi
movie.
You have the sci-fi elements with, like, you know, all of the flying cars and like the androids and stuff. But really, Blade Runner is just like a manhunt movie. Like, that's what's
with a
really
different setting.
Yeah. That's really what's driving the movie. Well, like, it could be the same movie without having...
Going back to, like, a really Scott film, sci-fi, that'd be Alien.
Yeah, Alien 2.
Oh, my God.
Although I love Alien.
Alien's good, Alien, but I think that's as sci-fi as really Scott can get.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you can tell that it's there, but it's kind of like a Deus Ex Machina thing. Like, oh, this happened because it's sci-fi.
Yeah.
Whereas in this movie, it is a little sci-fi in the sense that, you know... people can't have children anymore, and some of the technology seems a little bit futuristic.
Yeah,
but it's also all really like contemporary too. Like, you know, the car has a lot of trouble starting, and that goofy like kind of chase scene,
right?
And like the weapons
the settings,
and stuff.
The settings and like the cinematography is all very Britain.
Yeah. It's
all kind of dark and like gray.
Yeah, it's kind of it's grimy, but it's not like it's not grimy the way a grindhouse movie is. It's grimy like.
This really isn't your typical sci-fi and think that there's aliens or anything like that.
Yeah, it's very...
It's almost like
it reminded me of...
futuristic world,
but... It kind of reminded me of Moon. Although, like, Moon did way, like...
Yeah, Moon did have a little more of that artificial intelligence vibe to it.
But, like, it kind of reminded me of Moon or Source Code in the sense where it's like...
Yeah,
you know it's there, but that's not what's providing the reason for the movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, that's why I'm watching this, because there's going to be aliens, or, you know?
It's not planet Earth.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
You mean Battlefield?
Battlefield Earth. Yeah. Planet Earth is my new movie coming out.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, no, the way that sci-fi is held in, executed in Children of Men, I would say is way better.
Yeah, it's not heavy-handed at all. And then even when you're watching it and you think, you probably don't even know what they're doing is sci-fi at some points.
Yeah, because it seems very natural throughout. Like, it's not something they're hitting you over the head with, like, oh, here's a flying car.
Yeah,
oh, here's some aliens.
Right.
Or here's an android. Here's a Borg character.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's not like that.
Yeah.
So.
And I was thinking of just, like, other sci-fi movies. Even you brought up Moon and...
Source Code. Shout-outs to Duncan Jones.
And you think about Zoe Bowie.
Yeah.
Or you think about, like, 2001.
Yeah.
it's almost in the, along that vein where it's sci-fi but not really.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not a heavy-handed, yeah, super it's not strange silly, world. Yeah,
you know, it's not something you would expect.
It's not like a Fifth Element. Yeah, because it's very human.
Don't make fun of Chris
sci-fi.
Tucker that way.
I know.
Don't hurt his feelings. He's gentle.
I think it's not. It's just like not a. It's definitely a more human aspect of sci-fi.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
I think it makes it for more sure. affecting in many ways.
Yeah.
Let's talk good things. I know this is one of your favorite movies, so let's talk in general and favorite scene.
Okay. It's kind of hard for me because I really did like. I would say just like the execution that Alfonso Cuarón put through, like everything about the movie with respect to just how it's all constructed, like the structure of the movie.
Yeah.
Like for one, the cinematography, it's one of my favorite looking movies just because he uses really good shots of everything throughout. And even though, you know, it's sci-fi and he could go with like really futuristic-y shots, almost like in Blade Runner, like when they're the intro shots of like going through the city kind of slowly and everything is, you know, kind of miraculous looking. He doesn't have any miracle type shots like that. Everything is pretty naturalistic and down to earth.
I mean, the first couple scenes are him going to a coffee shop.
Yeah, like it's not super impressive what he's shooting.
Yeah.
But the way in which he's shooting those things, the angles, makes everything look very interesting. Like you want to figure things out. Like one of my favorite shots from the movie is the one where, like earlier on when he wakes up in his apartment, just because his apartment looks completely believable. Like, you know, everything is kind of disheveled and he has like a bunch of stuff in there.
A bunch of crap in there.
Yeah. And like I just really like that shot a lot. And just throughout the movie, the way he uses colors and stuff is good. The other thing I really like is the music and the sound.
Yeah.
Like whoever did the sound for the movie did an insanely good job,
because
everything is super, super realistic and believable.
Yeah.
The soundtrack is great with, I mean, you got like King Crimson, you have like hints of Pink Floyd and,
hints of Pink Floyd in the background.
Yeah. Radiohead. I think leads me to my favorite scene is the first one where you meet, it's the second scene with Jasper.
Yeah.
When they're in the house, because one of my favorite Radiohead songs is playing in the background. It's Life in a Glass House off of Amnesiac, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just playing in the background, like on the system in the house. So it's not like something that they looped in anything. It's just playing in the house, and like, you know, they're being silly because they're getting high.
For sure.
It's just a goofy, fun scene with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And yeah, overall, like, just an astounding job with how the movie is polished and constructed for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I agree with those. In general, I'd have to say I really like the cast of characters.
Yeah.
You know, Julianne Moore, for her a little bit in there, it's very... Her job or her role in the whole movie as a whole... it serves a very good purpose, and it's very efficient.
Yeah, it's really important.
And so she doesn't need to be... I mean, we could have her there longer, and that the film would definitely benefit from that, but having her in there for that amount of time doesn't really take away from her powers, that, you know, kind of that device to show what happened.
Yeah. She's very important, and it shows you that she's important, and then when she's gone, it's like, okay, that's... You know, that's whatever.
The shock of when she's gone and how it all happens is a great way to get you really in. That's when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
And that probably, well, no. I don't think that's my favorite scene. But
just also to add, that scene was really hard for them to film because they did it. It's basically all in a car. It's a really crazy scene because a bunch of stuff is happening in the car and the camera's in the car.
Yeah.
It's like a swivel camera in the car, and they replaced the roof of the car with two swivel cameras that they had to use. They had to keep switching back and forth between in order to get a seamless transition.
Right.
So like, it's just like being like, you know, that's for those video dorks. It's a really interesting shot.
For sure. Going back to the characters, Michael Caine's character is good. I know. I think one of our guests on our show, Mr. A, does not like Michael Caine's character. Not a huge fan
of Michael Caine's character in this movie. But,
I liked it just because it's a different side of Michael Caine.
Yeah. I think the supporting characters also, for the most part, did a really good job.
Yeah, even the bad supporting characters.
Yeah, the bad guys.
The bad guys.
I have no idea how to say his name because it's the most ridiculous name. I'm sorry, dude. It's Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel
Ejiofor. Yeah, he did a really good job, and he's in some more famous
American
things.
American Gangster.
He was in American Gangster 2012. If you decided to see that, whatever.
And Salt.
And Salt. Yeah. So he's in stuff, and I think he normally plays the bad guy.
Yeah, and you can say all these characters did a good job playing who they're what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Favorite scene. Ooh, I would have to say. I like my heart was pounding the most when they are escaping from a safe house.
Okay.
You know, the first escape.
Yeah, I guess that's something we didn't.
Well, I didn't want to give too much away because that's a twist.
Well, I'll just say all of the violent stuff is really realistic and believable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you feel all of it.
Right, yeah. And that's another reason why it doesn't come out sci-fi because
there's
no future weapons between the army or the police.
Yeah, they don't have like lasers and stuff. Yeah, it's like
which
tanks.
I like a lot.
It's like tanks and guns.
And that was my grenades. Favorite scene just because I'm a big fan of anything that has like lots of suspense like that.
Yeah.
And basically it's almost like if you guys like The Great Escape or like Stalag 17 – going back to really classic, you know, POW movies where they're trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
This movie's essentially like that. They're trying to get out of the country.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know.
It's an escort escape kind of movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, because of that, it lends to a lot of diverse scenery.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because
you're going through the country.
You go from London to the country.
To the coast.
The coast, yeah.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed that part of the movie. It's because it's just one of those movies that I just. That type of genre where it's like they're trying to escape or they're on the run.
Yeah.
Basically like fugitives.
Yeah.
I really dig that type of movie. And this is well done.
Yeah.
And it's not just about that, but essentially at the core of it, it's an escape movie starting out after the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I really dug that. Let's talk about nitpicks. I know I have a nitpick. It's not so much a nitpick.
Okay.
But you want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
All right. Things that I didn't like. Other than that weak performance by that lady.
Yeah.
And I thought the final scenes where they're running around in the last battle when all hell is breaking loose, I felt like that battle scene was kind of long.
Yeah.
And I understand that there are lots of loose ends to tie up. And they tied them up fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt like some of the people that they lost or that they're trying to get lost from come back and they have to deal with them, which is cool.
Yeah,
but I don't think they have to resolve that. They could have just been like, we escaped from this group of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally understand. Yeah.
But, and that's a, it's a long, and you know, I'm just thinking about movies where, like 13 Assassins, where you have basically extended battle for like an hour.
And all of it is very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you want to know what happens. But yeah, I know what you mean. That's actually a part of my nitpick too.
Yeah.
There's just some stuff with like characters that you've already, like you were like, oh, we got away from them. Why do we have to see them again?
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is I remember watching the trailer to this movie.
Yeah.
And thinking it's kind of totally different when it was first coming out in the
I
was thinking because they kind of portray Clive Owen's character as like maybe he's a leader of the resistance in that he's running around that battle scene and I swear to God he had a gun.
Okay.
Or something like that. It looked like he was a fighting soldier or resistance leader.
Maybe he did.
In this movie, spoiler alert. Not really a spoiler. He doesn't really get up and fight. He kind of lets everyone else do the fighting
for
him.
Because he's just like a managerial boy.
Right, exactly. But there are parts in the movie where it's like, man, you're going to grab a gun or something? Because it's one of those things where it's like, are you just going
to
run around?
Like it would be a good decision to just have a gun.
Yeah, just if you don't know how to use it, whack somebody in the face. Because he always like, and everyone around him has guns and they just like,
although he does have that great kill with a... like a toaster or whatever that was.
Yeah, it was like a brick or like piece of garbage that you hit him with.
Something really hard. And
It's stuff like that where it's just like, you know, I get it because the fact that he cannot like pick up a gun and use it for himself, it makes it seem all the more helpless and
it
brings the suspense together.
Everyone can't be badass Diego with guns.
Right, Andy. That's true. But I'd say the Clive Owen nitpick is way nitpicky. The length of the battle scene at the end, I don't think is too nitpicky. I thought it was just a little long.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't really detract from the experience. But at the same time, it's like when they finally get to where they have to be at the end of the battle scene, you're like, oh, fucking finally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think part of that also has to deal with how exhausted you are watching them try to escape.
Yeah, because it's kind of like a test. Because there's a lot of stuff that happens. And it's important, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Because, I mean, there's essentially three parties that have to deal with at least.
Yeah.
And, But, I mean, other
three
than
separate
that,
groups of characters
are
important. Yeah.
But let's talk about your stuff, Sam.
Yeah, my nitpick was a little bit the stuff at the end, because I agree. I thought that was a little long. Mm-hmm. I thought Clive Owen not picking up guns, I thought that was fine, because, again, I'm assuming he's just some kind of, like, dorky dork managerial nerd who wouldn't know what to do with a gun, you know?
Right.
So it never, like... It just never came to him like that. I have a really, really specific nitpick.
Let's hear
it. It's in during the battle scene. There's one part where they're like entering a tunnel or exiting a tunnel, and this really shrill violin music just kind of shows up from nowhere. And I thought that was just kind of unsettling.
Well,
I know they did that for like a suspense thing. I just didn't
some
like
sort of effect.
I think it could like the level of that violin could have been brought down. And it's just it's kind of abrupt because there wasn't music for like the last 10
it's
or
all,
11
it's all
minutes.
Shells.
Yeah, it's all shells or just people talking and yelling. And then you have that really bright set.
It's a long battle scene.
It's a very long battle
scene.
But
I mean, and you know, it wasn't like a poorly done one. It was just like
some stuff could have been shortened.
It was a lot of stuff where it's like, wow, I can't believe you're dealing with everything that happened at the beginning of the movie at the end. Which is fine. He wanted to do that. And the gun thing is just like, I don't know, whenever I feel like it's just every movie I've seen, even if they don't know what to do with a gun,
you still get one.
You still get one. Justin, and then when, like, it, of course, then you have the arbitrary scene when a bad guy finally comes up. The guy's like, oh, my God, how do I use my gun? And maybe he just didn't even want to go through that.
And then he becomes, like, godlike and headshots him. Yeah.
Something like that. But, like, in the trailer, I was just thinking, like, how in the trailer you see this one scene of, I think it was a splice between the battle scene and the scene with the coffee shop when things happen at the coffee shop. To make it seem like he's kind of in a battle.
Yeah.
He's fighting.
Yeah.
So props to the trailer for making this seem like a different type of movie.
Yeah.
But I really...
That's good. Yeah. It doesn't spoil the movie for you.
And I'd seen this movie. You guys are going to have a really good experience with it. I really do like the cast of characters. I know this is one of your favorite movies.
Yeah.
As far as the sci-fi thing, I'm not a big fan of sci-fi either. I totally forgot to talk about my take on the sci-fi.
Yeah, you did.
Yours is so extravagant, man. Sorry. I loved it. No, it's good. My take on sci-fi. Yeah. Sci-fi.
Savoie. In France.
It's a great magazine.
Le Corbusier.
I'm gonna have to tell you, but like for sci-fi, Star Wars is sci-fi, but I don't really count. I don't even think of Star Wars as
Star Wars
sci-fi,
is really
just
like a Western.
It's its own universe.
Yeah,
know?
and it's
but
really,
it is sci-fi.
It's really the story of a Western.
Yeah.
Just a
yeah.
really epic
with
Western.
With a little bit of Kurosawa thrown in.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking, you know, like Star Trek, sci-fi, but that's just like, it's essentially just, you know, stock plots or things like that. And it was just different clothes and different looks on people and spaceships. Yeah. But and it's like sci-fi, I don't really... Like Blade Runner is fine. I don't go and seek out sci-fi movies.
Yeah, me either. Really.
But and this movie is like... It's sci-fi, yes, but it's sci-fi... It's very... It's a humanistic
like,
sci-fi.
They don't... Yeah, they don't really make a big deal about it. There are no scenes in like in Blade Runner where they spend 5 minutes describing to you what the androids are.
Right. And the thing is, like, if someone asked you to describe this movie, no one... Well, I say 9 out of 10 people wouldn't say it's sci-fi.
Yeah.
That's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, that's not the first thing. First thing
you've
is
seen
probably...
Other, I've seen other movies where I think, like, the government has a huge hand. Not quite 1984 level, but V for Vendetta.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you think
for
about
Vendetta.
the government like that. It's not quite political in this movie. It's more just like a really intrusive hand in the government by the government, and no one seems to mind, except for the fact that they have immigrants in there, which is a struggle that, I mean, I don't care that we just know it's happening.
Yeah.
And it plays a big part in the movie.
Yeah. It's important, but it's not, it doesn't hit you over the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, it's not, overly sympathetic or anything like that. It's just it's just like, this is how it is, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're going to focus on the real story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, with all that stuff being said, was there? I already said my least favorite scene is the battle scene. Is that you just like your?
That's really all I have because I really like the movie.
Let's talk 10-point scale. Do you want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
Yeah, you should go first, Andy.
Yeah, I have a feeling what you're going to rate it. I really like the movie. I gave. I'm going back to Leon the Professional because I gave that an 8.5.
Yeah.
At least I say that.
Yeah.
I think I gave it 8.5.
I think it was.
I'm going to give this movie an 8.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair, and that's the IMDb average.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, and the thing is, like, the 8 doesn't really translate into a grade point scale, I don't think. Just because an 8 would
be a
B.
Well, I mean, that's why we always back it up. With, right. Like, what would you recommend?
I definitely
for
watch
people?
It. I would recommend it to anyone who likes action. And it's action, but it's also, I'd say it's more of a, It's not a traditional like super violent action, or there's a lot of violence in this.
There's
action.
A lot of it's really
spattered throughout.
And when there is violence and stuff, it's not glorified at all.
No, it's just,
it's not like here's a really cool thing about to happen. Yeah, it's not like Blade Runner where, you know, he's like chasing the stripper lady and like shoots him in the back like 8 times and
she
keeps running.
Or it's not like Drive when Christina Hendricks gets her face blown off with that shot.
Yeah.
But all the violence is very quick. And I think it's one of those things where it happens, and then you're left to sit and think about what just happened.
Yeah, and
which
it's like
is
it's
masterful.
And when there is violence, it's always pretty startling, and you're just like, oh shit, you know, that was bad.
Right,
meant something. That's
it,
not just
it all means
guy
something.
Dying.
All the kills, basically, when you think you're going on a certain track with the movie, each set of violent like acts that happen changed the course of the movie dramatically, which I think was good. I'd give it an 8, just because the movie. It's not very predictable, but at the same time, it's not really trying to do anything. It's a pretty simple story.
Yeah. Definitely a simple. It's really easy to follow.
Yeah, like you know what they have to do.
It's not predictable, but it's like, oh, that was something that like I could have expected. Or you know, the next thing happens, you're like, oh, okay, oh no, I think something bad's gonna happen.
Right.
It's like that. It's not like a Babel thing where you're like, oh, now you switch to the Japanese story. Why did you switch to the Japanese story?
That's and then why did you put this awesome Japanese piano music by Ryuichi Sakamoto in it?
why is that gun in that picture too? Why do you have that picture?
Why is he hugging his naked daughter on a balcony?
That's not necessary. She was just at school earlier
and
today,
deaf.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my god. The thing is, I'm going to give it an 8 because, A, it's not my favorite genre. But I think, did I give Moon an 8? Or an 8.5?
I don't remember. It might have been an
8.5.
It might have been an 8 or an 8.5, something like that.
And if I had to pick between Moon and Children of Men, tough call.
Yeah, super tough call.
But I would say Children of Men just because.
I would also say Children of Men.
The ensemble.
Yeah, I mean, Children of Men is just more impressive in the sense that there's just a lot more people in it. There's a lot more settings in it.
Yeah.
Moon is kind of like a very, very good chamber drama, whereas Children of Men is just like an epic.
Yeah, Children of Men is also like 30 minutes longer.
Yeah, that too.
But this movie is a very solid movie for the genre. One of my favorite movies is The Great Escape.
Yeah.
And I would just think that I see a lot of elements of, you know, like kind of people on the run. I love that type of movie.
Uh-huh.
It's just as far as like a sci-fi or like that type of movie goes, like that's, I think it would top out at 8, maybe an 8.5, but this one gets an 8. I love the performances and I would recommend it to anyone. If you can get it on Netflix, can't get it on streaming, but you can rent it.
Yeah.
Or if it's a good deal on Amazon, buy it on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sure we watched the 1080 version and looked great.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But that's what I thought. And Sam, I'm intrigued to see how high you're going to go with this. Because I know it is one of your favorite movies.
Yeah. Children of Men is definitely one of my favorite movies. I'm going to have to give it a strong 9.
Boom.
Like just a really solid, strong 9.
Right.
I would, recommend this to anyone who likes kind of action and suspense.
Right.
Or just like wants to see awesome cinematography.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I do that, like, it kind of reminded me of Atonement, because I think Atonement I didn't like nearly as much as Children of Men.
Right.
But Children of Men is just shot in a way that is, like, it looks so good.
It does look good.
It looks so, so good. And, like, the sound, the music is really good. All of, like, just the execution of the film. Like, it's a, like, if I was, like, supposed to grade the director would probably get, like, a 10.
Right.
And with respect to, like, you know, all of the individuals he chose to help produce the movie, like it's just executed perfectly in my opinion. Definitely a strong 9. And if you can get it off of Netflix, I think it's on Amazon Prime, maybe it's one of the things
like
on
Amazon Video, you mean?
Yeah, whatever that thing is.
Yeah, the direct download thing. I really like this movie, but like to give you guys an example of like what my 10 would be, it would probably have to be something Japanese, or something like really awesome World War II movie.
Okay.
Like and it's not Saving Private Ryan is not a 10. And I know all those people be like Saving Private Ryan was a 10. No. Saving Private Ryan is not a 10.
Saving Private Ryan is probably like a 7.5 or something.
Yeah,
it's good.
7.5.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. But
it's Steven Spielberg being heavy-handed, like normal.
Things like that, like Bridge Over River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia is not a war movie, but it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Dr. Zhivago. I like Dr. Zhivago a lot. Seven Samurai is probably the ultimate top number. That gets a 10 for sure. 13 Assassins.
Super amazing.
Love 13 Assassins.
Yeah.
Yojimbo and Sanjuro, right?
Those are, I still have to see those.
Those are two great movies that I think you'll like and that I love in general because it's a Western, but with swords.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. And that's what I'm talking about.
Who doesn't love Miyamoto?
Everyone has like a certain preference, I think, in the top, like, the top echelons of their movies, like, they already have a standard thing. Like, what would you say would be yours?
Tree of Life is one.
Tree of Life is good, right?
And then probably There Will Be Blood.
Right. And that's like, it's one of those, it's that type of movie that you might actually have, like, already be interested in.
Children
of Men interested me. I just never saw it in the theaters. And then, but, you know, when you're watching something like this, it's great. It's just not one of the types of movies where it's like, wow, like, this is, it's like a, you know, some... I've never done drugs before, but I'm guessing, like, when you want something like the samurai movie.
Yeah.
It's like, first of all, it's a samurai movie, so I'm already open for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Second of all, it's amazing. So it's like that hit of, like, thank God, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah. If you like that kind of sci-fi action movie that's kind of, like, understated, like, epic at the same time in terms of the story and all of the cast characters, locations, everything. Children of Men is totally
And if you like the same,
fill all those holes.
Yeah, fill them in. That's what I'm talking about. Like Great Escape, same kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sand Pebbles, another Steve McQueen movie that has two VHS tapes. Right. I fucking love the Sand Pebbles.
Yeah.
Papillon, another Steve McQueen movie, two VHS tapes.
Yeah.
All three of those movies with Steve McQueen. All three of them, Steve McQueen trying to escape.
Yeah.
If you like any of those movies, I guarantee you, you will like Children of Men, if not love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a strong recommendation from both of us. I mean,
The
difference between an 8 and a 9 isn't really too far away.
Not that much. It's almost like the Olympics when you get with those like faster and faster runners. It's really like logarithmic. Like, you know, what separates an 8.5 and a 9 isn't really the same as what separates a 6 and a 7.
Yeah, and especially with this movie, it's tough. Yeah. Like, if it was another movie... Some movies have a more of a discrepancy between the numbers, but I think this one, it can go either way.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, and it's been on the dock for a while, and I'm glad we finally watched it, my man.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, we appreciate your questions, comments, suggestions. Tell us what you thought about the movie. You know, go out and seek it. I think it's on Blu-ray, right?
It's on Blu-ray. Yeah, we watched it in 1080.
Yeah, it has to be on Blu-ray because we watched it in 1080. We really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.